Hello, and broadcasting from the beautiful central coast of California, it's the Dr. Death Danger Radio Show! Say no to the drugs, children. You dare. Retro Bill, baby. Hey, Ed just got disconnected on the call. That's crazy. How did that happen? How's it going, listeners? Welcome to the Triple D Radio Show with your hosts, James and Ed. But unfortunately, our connection with Ed had dropped. But I felt like just plowing on through the intro anyway, because you know what? Maybe it might be a little funny, but you know, listeners, give me a wee second. Let me see if I can get good host Ed on the line, and then we can hit the show proper, baby. Yeah. All right, good host Ed. I think I finally got you on the line. What is good? Okay. Good host Ed.
I tried calling you back like 3 times, but my connection was like, nope.
Yeah, no, it just wasn't. And I was like, hey, yo, fuck it, brain. Let's just use Messenger calling and see how that goes.
It couldn't be any worse, right?
Doubt it. I fucking doubt it. But either way, good host said, I already started the show, but you already got disconnected during the intro. But hey,
yeah,
during that troubles, what's good with you? Do you even want to talk about much, or should we just get on with the show? You are a working man.
You're a working Florida man. I suppose I am a Florida. Out of the two of us, I guess I count as a Florida man more. Yeah, no, the only thing interesting that happened to me was on Wednesday, I saw End of Evangelion in theaters. That was sick.
Yo, I saw a fucking meme going around. I think there was someone filming in the fucking theater of that goddamn opening scene. And people going, and some random dude just doing a fucking front flip, just a shadowy figure just doing a front flip. And then like literally what my bandmates brought up to me, it's like, is this the scene you were talking about earlier, like earlier in the week when we're at Buffalo Bro? I'm like, yes, it's that fucking scene. no, because actually my week got fucked up because I would say usually Mondays are my Sundays, so usually I should be wise at going to bed at a good time so I can so I'm nice and rested the day before. So you know what?
Sure.
When I try to go to bed, I decided, you know what? I'm curious about this video. I watched a video of some dude trying to explain Evangelion. And you know what? I think I got a good gist of it. I was like, oh, you know what? Thank you for actually explaining this.
You could have just asked me.
I don't know. You don't have like a good clip video and also like showing like everything and also describing it. Yeah, that's true. The rebuild series. But unfortunately, I thought I was going to crash out on the first video. And then I definitely thought I was going to crash out on the rebuild description. Fuck no. I was still up till fucking 2 a.m. and I had like a 5-hour sleep. And I was like, dude, I'm feeling fucked today. Yeah, so, yeah, Evangelion fucks me again. Fucking my internal beef with that goddamn anime will never end. Even when I finally was like, you know what, I kind of understand this story. Still, the people fucking suck. They're like, I do not like these characters, but still, I kind of got a better understanding of the story. Now I can actually discuss it more. Other than me, when I could tell you when I watched it, I couldn't understand shit. But when I finally had try their hardest to explain to me, I was like, you know what? I can see that. Thank you, my man. I don't know what the fucking channel was, but thank you. But yes,
Was it the video that's called like explaining the messiest anime? That's like an hour long or something.
Yes.
Oh yeah. I actually just watched that for the first time recently, about a couple weeks ago. And I was like, wow, look, someone explaining Evangelion. That's actually like, you know, not just clowning on it the whole time. That's rare.
Yeah,
that's actually a genuinely like super good recap of that story.
Yes. And it actually simplified things where things now, I wouldn't understand shit.
Now, I didn't watch his rebuild one, but I have to imagine it's just as good.
Well, did you watch all the rebuild?
Yeah, I watched them all. Not as they came out. But by the time I got to Rebuild, the third movie had already been out for a couple years. Actually, I think Shin Godzilla was already out. And I was like, well, I'm sure we'll get that fourth movie any day now. And it didn't come out till 5 years after Shin Godzilla. Because apparently Mr. Ono had another goddamn nervous breakdown during the production of 3.0. So to calm down, quote unquote, he took a break from Evangelion, and then that's when he started making all his Shin movies, you know, because he did Shin Godzilla, and then he came back for the fourth Rebuild movie, and then he did Shin Kamen Rider, and then I think last year he did Shin Ultraman. Yeah, Hideki Anno's kind of goated. Think about it. He's written like successful movie. He's directed successful movies for four of Japan's biggest IPs: Evangelion, Godzilla, fucking Ultraman, and Kamen Rider. Literally, the only thing he hasn't done something for is like, I don't know, Gamera or something,
or fucking Power Rangers.
Yeah.
But
that was really cool. Seeing that movie in theaters is nuts. It's like, it was like seeing it again for the first time. It's just such a crazy experience.
Yo, how many heads were in the joint?
It wasn't sold out, but it was at least over half full. Hell, we even had Rey and Asuka cosplayers.
Okay, cool. What was people's reaction? Cool. What was people's reaction to the fucking opening scene?
Well, I feel like almost everyone there had seen it for the first time. So, you know, there was a lot of like nervous snickering going on as they were trying their best not to, I guess, feel secondhand cringe, because a lot of them were there with their friends.
Thinking you're that motherfucker, you take them in to see this fucking movie. They might know just very little about the series, and yet to go fucking see this messy ass fucking story of a movie and how it opens up just a fuck you to the face. I'm just saying, it's not easy.
Yeah, some of the best animation ever I've seen in a movie, though.
Oh, no, that's for sure. Yeah, no, that's for sure.
Like, 97, oh, dude, when Third Impact hit in the theaters, oh, dude, I had freaking goosebumps. Dude, 97 was insanely goated, because that movie came out, and I think I mentioned this last time, Final Fantasy VII came out. I also found out that two other huge movies came out that year. The first Pokemon movie, and I don't know if you've ever seen this one, Princess Mononoke, a Ghibli movie.
Yeah, I know those two. I've seen both those fucking two. Yeah.
It's kind of funny because I learned in a different video I watched that when End of Eva was coming out, because Miyazaki made Mononoke, and him and Hideaki Anno are friends. So apparently in Japanese media and stuff, they were trying to make this thing of like, you know, ooh, the mentor versus the teacher, and Princess Mononoke made like three times the money End of Evangelion did.
Dang, who would have saw that? So, our Florida man, as much as we could have a podcast hung on about Evangelion, we're not going to.
It's going
to
happen. It's going to happen one day. I know we probably can't go through the anime, but I have a feeling we're going through those Rebuild movies one day.
I don't know. Maybe when you're actually back in studio, but not anytime soon.
Maybe.
So, working Florida man, you got to go to bed. So let's get on this show. So,
all right.
Actually, what I need to do is friggin'. So, good host said for the CAR this week, what the fuck did we listen to? What did I make you listen to?
I wanted to listen to literally two other records, but they weren't on Spotify. So James was like, let's do WWE The Music Volume 5. And I think the reason why you picked this one was because it has Dwayne The Rock Johnson's quote unquote iconic pie song.
Yep. Yep. The fucking pie song.
So anyway, yeah, this is for anyone that doesn't know, WWE has some wrestling in general has really sick theme songs. So WWE at some point started being like, let's just release the theme songs on CD. And this is the fifth volume of it. I'm assuming you have it going. So track one here is Triple H's theme, The Game. And I wrote here, come on. It's the game. The Steam is sick. 7 out of 10. I feel like King of Kings is maybe catchier than this one, but I just, this song just goes so raw. I love it.
So, while I'm taking a fucking bitch ass amount of time to get my notes, I just wrote down for the game. I was right on, bro. Classic theme. It pumps anyone up. Get them in a fucking frenzy for a Triple H match. Which then you can have a sketchy Triple H match on. You don't know if it's going to be long and slow and boring. Or if it's going to be slow but very fun and dramatic. You don't know.
Yeah, and either he's going to squash somebody or he's going to have a 29 and a half minute effort.
I'm just saying. So I basically gave this 8 out of 10. Alright. I fucked with
it. Yeah.
Especially I've had like good ass moments. Like on Triple H's later end of his career. Especially that one Royal Rumble where he came in last and fucking eliminated Roman Reigns and won the title. Goated moment.
Goated moment. And then I remember it came down to him and Dean Ambrose, aka John Moxley, at the end, and it was like, oh shit, and he just fucking won.
because Hunter. So what's good with the next song, Rowdy, for K Quick?
So K Quick wasn't much of anything when he was around, but you know what? He had a cool theme song. I actually gave this, believe it or not, a light 7. Like, yeah, it's kind of cheesy, but to that same effect, there's a line in here that says, get tossed like a salad. And I'm like, that's goaded. So, 7 out of 10. It's just fun.
Well, for me, I was like, you know what? R-Truth has had better themes as a better theme now, but I did not fuck with the song at all. I gave this a low 5 out of 10. I was like, God fucking damn. This would, maybe it's coming off the game, but still, it did not hit for me.
I tell you what, when he came out to the song though, Ron Killings makes anything work. So I don't know, maybe that's why I was thinking of R-Truth more than I was thinking of K Quick.
I'm sorry. Present tense. Now, if you dare, Taz's theme.
I always thought this song was rad, and I remember when Ciampa went heel because he had like the heartbeats and the flat line before. A lot of people were like, yo, is this a Taz ripoff? But I don't know. I actually gave this one a light 7 out of 10 too, because it's like, dude, this song puts me in the mood for some sick suplexes. Like, it's not as good as his ECW theme, but like, I don't know. I just like it. I think it's cool.
So all I can say is, like, Taz, as a wrestler in WWE, not much ever happened. Other than having a very sick theme. And this theme goes hard. So, you know what? High 6 out of 10. But don't worry. Taz, as a wrestler, never did anything great. As a commentator, goated. He's a goated commentator. Classic.
His work with Michael Cole was great when they were, like, the SmackDown guys. That shit was good.
All right. On to the next one. It just feels right for Alita.
Well, I wrote here, it's not her iconic song, so 2 out of 10. No, I'm kidding. No, so, I mean, it's still all right. It's an incredibly generic Attitude era theme song. I gave it, like, a light 6 because, like, it's not offensive. It's just kind of like, yeah, that's a WWF theme song from the time period.
Yeah, no, for me, I just know Alita's had... As have had a, obviously hindsight, Lita has have yeah, dude, I cannot say has have a better theme, but holy fuck, this theme sucks. I did not fuck with that at all. 4 out of 10.
Sucked, huh?
Yeah, I gave this 4 out of 10. Just not there. But oh my, well, what do you suspect? These are like, some of these are just shitty fucking wrestler themes.
Well, yeah. Oh, you know it's not a shitty wrestling theme, though? The next one.
Oh, yeah. What's the next one?
The next one is... I don't remember the name. I just know it's Kane's theme song.
Yeah.
I was like, bro, this is Kane's theme. I'm like, you know, when I was a kid and I grew up, he was using Slow Chemical by Finger 11.
Yeah.
But his old school one... It's just great. I gave it an 8 out of 10. It might be a 300 out of 10 on the right day.
Oh, damn. That's fucking crazy.
8 out of 10. The song rules.
Yeah, no, for me, Kane theme song, obviously, way fucking better than Lita's theme. And you know when that song goes, like, you know Kane's gonna do some fun shit. So, you know, I fuck with it. I gave it a high 6 out of 10.
Okay, not yeah, bad.
Yeah, not bad, dude. But on to the next one. Oh my god. This fucking song. So Eddie Guerrero's had a better song, has had a better theme song. This was just mid, and I just did not fuck with that at all. 5 out of 10.
You know,
how about you?
I'm
sorry, it's not
a
lie. I cheat, I steal.
I gave it a 6 because I'm like, you know what? Like, it's cheesy and it's corny, but it still, like, really fit him, you know? And I don't know. I couldn't hate the cheese enough to where I'm like, oh, this sucks. I'm like, it's, you know what? It's only okay. But for how much fun it is, I'm like, yeah, I give it a 6.
Well, on to the next one. So, let me tell you, I've got it all for the one.
This song,
Billy Gunn.
This song sounded like a cocaine addiction. Ridiculous and hammy. I gave it a high 5 out of 10. I don't know why this song I was just not a fan of.
Well, for me, I wrote down that this theme is about as mid as Billy Gunn as a wrestler himself. 5 out of 10. It fit the man.
Listen.
Fit the man.
Hey, listen. Just because it took Billy Gunn being in his like 50s or 60s in AEW to actually be pretty worth watching, that doesn't mean he was okay. I guess that means he was always mid, but still, yeah.
So, what about Raven's theme now? The what about me? What about me?
Well,
what about him?
Like,
what about Raven?
I feel like you're not going to be surprised. I thought the song was cool. 7 out of 10. I'm just like, you know what? It's like the Ravens, like, cacaing in sync with the music and, like, that, like, I don't know how you describe it, but that just kind of, like, generic late 90s guitar riff. I'm just like, you know what? I fucks with it. It makes sense.
So, yeah, I don't know about Raven. As to me, I've never dived too much into Raven. What little I've seen, he's not the most exciting wrestler. But I'm going to be honest, this theme's not making things any better. Low 5 out of 10. I did not fuck
with it. I knew you weren't going to like it.
Now, who am I? China's theme.
This song's okay. I never thought it was great. I won't lie and say I never threw it on because I'm like, yeah, you know, but I gave it a 5 because, like, better character and everything, but the music just wasn't terribly, it felt like they threw it together and it felt like they threw the song together in like half an hour.
So what I thought of it was, yeah, I say the song is just as good as China's wrestling. 4 out of 10. This song
is so mean.
Sorry, it was just bad. I don't know. Not much more. But now this one.
Of the Departed.
Oh my god, this next theme song. I was like, holy fucking shit. This is on here. Oh my god. Whatever. I'm just gonna say it right now. Goated theme. 8 out of 10. Perk Angle is untouchable.
Oh, dude, you know what's so funny about that? I gave it an 8 out of 10. And in fact, in my notes, I said specifically 8 out of 10 on principle. The song was perfect for him. The You Suck, I just naturally did growing up because it was so ingrained with it.
Yeah.
Kurt Angle's a beast. And, he's a beast when he started out. He was a beast when he was on Perks. He was just great.
Yeah, and so, now he's a beast now he's a beast as a meme. Especially like that one where he like does like, I'm on Cameo, and does that awkward stare for like a couple seconds and goes, are we done yet? Oh, dude, Perk Angle, goated. This theme, goated. Channing, you suck, goated. Oh, fuck.
Goated.
Now, tell me what's good with Bad Man. Rikishi's theme.
I'm a bad man. Boom, boom, boom. Yeah, so, you know, I'll be honest. This song is cheesy like the others, but it makes a decent rap song. I actually wrote here, I wish someone in the blood, I don't know who, but I wish someone in the Bloodline used this instead of, like, their theme song. Like, Solo Sikoa would be, like, 900 times cooler if this was his theme song instead of whatever the shit he has now. I gave it a 7 out of 10. You know what doesn't help, though? Even the worst first songs on this record sound better than today's theme songs because Death Rebel sucks at their
Shitty themes back then are just as shitty as shitty themes now.
You might be right.
I'll just say, I'm sure our, like, Lita's theme, I would most likely rate as just as bad as, like, the next person. That's Chelsea Green's theme or something. Or Maxine. What's even Maxine Dupree's theme?
Oh, she just comes up to, she just comes out to Chad Gable's theme. Sheesh.
Dang. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's pretty bad. But, oh, yeah, right. Well, oh, yeah.
They can't all be Rhea Ripley with Motionless in White, I guess.
Or something. But, okay, I totally forgot what I thought about the song. I was like, okay, D-tier DMX knockoff, I kind of fuck with. I'm not going to lie. 6 out of 10. I was like, you know what?
D-tier DM.
Yo, D-tier Dollar General level DMX knockoff. You know what? Kind of hit. Just kind of hit.
I was going to make a crappy joke and be like, D-level DMX, did you say Ja Rule?
Ja Rule? Oh, no, this fucking theme. Anyway. Turn it up!
Oh, dude. So, this song is kind of funny because, like, this was Too Cool's theme, but at some point, I think they just gave it to Rikishi. But I'm giving it a 7 for the memories of busting out sick dance moves as a child. And I genuinely think this is just a really fun song, and it fit his wacky fat character.
So, for me, honestly, I thought this theme is so fucking annoying and so shitty. But it's like, it's so shitty that it's almost like a fucking goated meme. So I gave it a 7 out of 10. There's this part of me where it's like, honestly, this song's fucking terrible. And I would use it to torture people with, to be honest. But I think in that theory, it's like, you know what? Fuck it. Turn it up.
My favorite part about the song is the random interjections for no reason. Like how it's like, turn it up, does the music banging it, banging it, banging it back. And then you just hear the guy go, that was interesting. Like, why is that there?
Yeah, as a song, it's just fucking terrible. But as a meme, it's goated. So 7 out of 10. All right.
Agreed.
Next one. It's finally time. As we've been on our Dwayne The Rock Johnson little marathon. One of the first songs of him on recording. So tell me what's good about Pie.
So this song is not like the other songs. This song has a story, and it tells the story of how Rock, in his own words, is really famous and cool, and sometimes he gets tired of being famous and cool, and sometimes he just wants to munch on some pie. But and he tells a story about how, I don't know, he was like on the side of the road, and no, he went to a bakery, and Slick Rick was there, which, by the way, Slick Rick has, like, a writing credit on this song.
Okay.
So I guess he actually helped make it.
All right.
And he tells the story of how the Rock was on the side of the road, and I stopped in for a lady and to a house, and, like, hey, can you help me with my car? And she's like, yeah, if you have this nice hot pie I'm baking, and it's like, oh, my God. And, yeah, no, he's not actually talking about pie, you guys.
So what would you rate this song? What would you rate this?
I'm gonna be honest, it's really corny and dumb, but I can't deny that listening to it for the first time in years, I was pretty entertained by it. I gave it a 7.
Well, as I wrote down my notes, well, low-key, the reason why we're kind of here, I'm not gonna lie, it's kind of fucking terrible. It's like a 4, 3 out of 10 level terrible, but... Yeah. It is charming at the same time, so I gave it a 5 out of 10. But let's be real. This song is terrible. I'm just saying.
Oh, no, it sucks.
Now,
it's not a good song.
Now, question.
But The Rock is there.
True. Now, question. Did you do the next two songs? Because I think those were bonus tracks. Well, good. So did I. So on to moving forward. Because if you didn't, then I would have like, well, that's it, people. Mm, fucking pie, yeah.
Yeah, pie, baby.
Baby. So, like,
this next one is like a Jim Johnson solo number. I think it might have been used for a pay-per-view back then.
It said, like, Survivor Series 2010.
Yeah, whatever the hell that means.
But I'm sure it was the theme used for Survivor Series in the year of
2010. Yeah. But there's a couple of these on like those WWE music albums of like weird, like not weird, but like alt tracks and like demos from Jim Johnson. It's all right. He has better songs like this. I mean, you know, it's whatever. It's him. It's an acoustic Jim Johnson number. I gave it a 6 because it's harmless and it's not a half bad listen, but there's nothing really to it.
So for me, I wrote down "Damn," an actual fucking song out of this whole goddamn recording. I know it's more blame on us. What do we suspect doing pro wrestlers theme songs? Yeah, I think they're just themes, not meant to be quality fucking songs. But either way, I was like, you know what, low key, this song, if this was on like a pay-per-view video package, I'm sure it would pump me up. I give it a high 6 out of 10, maybe a low 7 out of 10. I don't know why.
Sure. And then there's the last one. This one was weird. This one was like, it's an alternate version of Sheamus's old theme, where I guess it sounds more Celtic or whatever. I don't know. It was all right. I gave it another 6 out of 10. I don't know. There's really nothing to it. I'm just like, yeah, it's fun. Sounds like it should be on in the background of a bar scene somewhere in a movie, but yeah, it's fine.
I think I was just like, you know what? I just wrote down, I was like, honestly, this is not half bad. Low 6 out of 10.
I think I gave it that too.
Yeah, I was like, you know what? Out of some of the songs we've listed on this recording, it's pretty fucking, like, it was pretty harmless. Yeah. All right, so what's your thoughts on whatever the fuck we listened to?
I thought so I tallied up my score and I think I counted it right. I got screwed up trying to count it a few times, but I think after I tallied up my score, I gave it a 105 out of 150.
All right.
It's a CD of wrestling theme songs, so like there's gonna be some good stuff on there, but a lot of it was just like, man, some of these theme songs just kind of blow. But it was interesting. It was interesting to step back into time and hear some of the stuff. But I don't know. Part of me is kind of like, man, I wish we would have listened to Reckless Intent instead. But this had the pie song. So
this had the pie song. Now, which do you think is better, the pie song or that random song where Dwayne the Rock Johnson decided to do a fucking like a verse for some random Tech N9ne song?
Oh God, I forgot he did that. Well, okay, this one was more entertaining, but the other one has Tech N9ne, so it's kind of hard to choose.
It kind of what? Just like makes it less shitty.
It does make it less shitty. I guess I'll go with the pie song because this song actually is going to sound so stupid to anyone that doesn't watch wrestling. This song actually has something close to akin to historical value.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, because the whole pie thing was a part of his character. He referenced it during his rock concert when he came back in like 2010 or whatever.
So about and pie. So it's like,
yeah, so it's like, I mean, they put it on the fucking album cover, so they made like t-shirts and shit too, so like, it made the money for the company.
It was something.
So yeah, historical value, I guess. The bar for historical value is low in professional wrestling sometimes, okay?
So yeah. Well, since you do need to go to bed. What I thought about it? Well, shoot. I thought, well, one, as a musical experience, it was kind of fucking terrible. I'd rather not go through that again. Obviously, a couple go to themes, which is like, it's super sick, but in reality, is it worth to listen to the pie song? No. The pie song's pretty fucking bad. Let's be honest.
Yeah, it's pretty bad.
If you need to listen to The Rock do the song, I guess you could do You're Welcome. Or maybe that one Tech N9ne song where he does the fucking, like, does some random, like, lays down some bars.
Yeah. You know what? We shouldn't stop here. We should do all the music. They did the WWE The Music up to Volume 7, but what we could do, Reckless Intent. We could do all 14 of those WWE Uncaged.
Yeah.
No, I'm just kidding. We're not going to do that.
Oh yeah. Of course we're not going to do that. But all right then. Whoa. Ed, I think you need to go to bed, so I guess we should take a moment and get ready for the main event. Yeah, that was hard on my voice, but good host Ed. What did we watch this week? What are we reviewing this week?
We watched the two-hour movie that killed the DCU, and man, you feel those 2 hours. Black Adam, starring our boy Dwayne The Rock Johnson. I need to ask you a quick question before I start reading my notes. Did you also feel when you were watching this movie that as far as like story beats and stuff go, that it felt really similar to Scorpion King?
Ish, yeah. There was a little bit of that frenetic pacing. Well, here's the thing. I'm going to say right now, I technically think this movie is a little bit is better than Doom. Because Doom?
Yeah.
It was fucking slow and nothing happening and fucking just them walking in darkness. At least this had at least some pacing to it. Like, Doom was just nothingness and then a fucking goated first person fucking shooter scene and then a fun fight and that was it. But everything else was just like, dude, Jesus fucking Christ. Holy shit. Yeah. But now, Black Adam, I wouldn't say isn't the worst as pacing, editing, characters, and you can see the level of enthusiasm on people. Yeah, it's definitely not there. But is this the worst movie? Fuck no. It's just a movie that you can tell worse, people just like, yeah, we're kind of here. We're just going to do the thing.
Yeah.
Like the level of investment, like the level investment out of everyone was just like not there. Maybe the younger actors, they seem a little bit more invested in the characters. Pierce Bronson was just on fucking autopilot.
Yeah, and Pierce Bronson on autopilot is still more charismatic than like most actors.
Like literally, that dude was just like acted like he was just on like he was hungover on a fucking at Sunday brunch.
Oh my god. All right, so
How did this movie start?
Opening narration, and holy shit, this first few minutes throws a lot at you and fast. It tells us how before Babylon, the Romans and the pyramids,
there was
Kondok.
Yeah, Kondok. And you're like, what?
And it was sick, you guys. First self-governed civilization, but then they got taken over by an evil tyrant. And that's where I'm like, what the fuck is a Scorpion King? The evil guy was named Ahktung, baby.
Yeah, we just watched the Scorpion King. Yo, is this Venmo or Ahktung?
Ahktung wants to forge a crown with the powers of six demons so it would make him eternal or something. So he enslaves
powers. I don't know. That's a fucking metal 666 shit right there.
That's heavy metal, bro. So he enslaves his people and puts them to work to find a material that only is found in Kondok called Eternium.
I thought Eternium? I'm fine just calling it Ethereum. Fucking, yo, let's go fucking buy some crypto, baby.
So Ahktung enslaves his people to mine crypto.
Basically, yes, they are fucking mining fucking materials. Yeah. So basically, yeah, enslaves his people to mine crypto.
So we see an old man find some. And here we meet who I was assuming, remember this for later, who I was assuming was a young Dwayne The Rock Johnson sticking up for him as people try to mob the old man for the material.
Yeah.
But he takes the material to the Royal Guard and he's like, okay, can I have my reward? Like, I don't know what it was. I think he was probably just like, can I just have some food or something?
Yeah, please. I found some. And the guards are just like, oh, dude, that's sick. Here's your reward. We're going to fucking kill you. Or do something not funny. You're like, man, that's not chill. Well, who says we were chill in the first place? Nerd.
Yeah, they literally stab him and then throw him off a cliff. And then Young Rock steps in. And then he keeps talking. He keeps
Young
saying how
Dwayne.
They keep saying if they can unite and like if the people could just unite and fight back because the people need a hero. But like his dad pulls him away from the guard and his dad tells him, let someone else be the hero. The graveyard is full of them.
Yeah, it's like, man, can you not? I like, son, can you not get yourself killed, please? I think I like you. I would like you to be alive.
So the child runs through the people. He swipes the material from the guards and he holds it up to rally the people. The emperor then orders, we see, the child to be put to death. But as the killing blow is struck, the child is whisked away to the Council of Wizards.
Okay. Yeah, let's go with the Council of Wizards. I'm not in that shit. All right. Yo, give me the 60-second like plot synopsis. Go. What's good with the Council of Wizards? Go.
They bestow upon him powers to be the champion of Kondok by who are having these people? Him say Shazam.
Who are these people?
They're the six wizards.
What makes them like the six wizards?
They're the six wizards, James. So they bestow upon him powers.
Thank you.
Much like you. How,
I feel so educated.
That's all they tell us in the movie. They're just like, he got whisked to the Council of the Wizards and they gave him his powers.
I thought you would
I'm
know
like,
more.
You got it, movie.
I thought you would have some more backstory on the wizards, but you're just like, nah.
They never, even in the comics, they don't really go into their backstory because in the comics, it just comes down to who cares? They're the ones that give Shazam his power and Black Adam their powers. That's all they matter for.
Yeah. So deal with it.
But SpaghettiOs, the crown has been completed. And when young Rock returns to do battle, we see the palace is destroyed and we don't know who won.
No.
Like literally, it doesn't tell us who won.
Yeah, you know what? There's a lot of electricity, a lot of explosion. What we know going forward is that fucking there's the Rock as Black Adam or Teth Adam, whatever the fuck they call him before they call him Black Adam. And then there's a fucking sketchy looking crown that might give people powers. So on to modern day, quote unquote.
Modern day, as we see a bunch of flying bikes flying through modern Kondok set to the Smashing Pumpkins.
Yeah. There was like a couple of things of like licensed music where I'm like, you know what? Kind of sets the mood a little bit. Not too bad.
Not too bad.
You're like, hell yeah. Hell yeah, brother. Smashing Pumpkins, brother. Hell yeah.
Oh yeah, dude. Melancholy and Infinite Sadness. That record fucks. Mm. So Kondok is occupied by mercenaries or something. They're called the Intergang.
Wait, what?
The people that have
Did
Kondok
you say
over...
Intergang?
Yeah, their name is the Intergang.
I caught the mercenaries part, but what the fuck is that name? Jesus Christ. Was there no effort? Damn. Seriously, it seems like Dwayne The Rock Johnson put in way more fucking effort promoting the movie than putting any effort into itself. What the fuck?
So, yeah, that's going on. And then we see a kid in a red hoodie on a skateboard.
Yeah, dude, just shredding on the skateboard, baby. Yeah, just all sick. You're like, you know this kid's sick because this kid skateboards. It's like Andrew Garfield Spider-Man. You know he's cool because he skateboards.
I totally forgot he skated. So then we cut to a thick guy getting his ID checked by the guards.
And he's like, my man, why are you tripping? My man, chill. And he's just like, all right, let me check what's good in the back. And the kid rolls up like, hey, like about to roll up. But then the guard's like, hey, buddy, I can't let you get past. What are you doing? You got to wait in line like the rest of people. And the kid's like,
the kid goes on a thing about how much the guards suck. And
he's like, you guys suck. You see me every goddamn day. What do you think is going to be different today? What do you think is going to be different today?
Yeah.
He's like, kid, I just have a job to do. All right. Can I just do my job? Can you just chill?
And the best part is,
how about you just a little push away on your skateboard?
Yeah, and the best part is these mercenaries are British, so they all sound like Will Ospreay. I half expected the guy to be like, yeah, and every day I'll tell you the same thing. Get back to the line, bruv.
Get back in the line, bruv.
So the people in the van leave, and we find out very quickly they're smuggling a woman out of there. The kid rides up to them on the skateboard as they're driving, trying to plead with them to let him go with them. Turns out he's the woman's son.
And she's like, go do your homework. Mom's got to go to work. Starting
yeah, she's like, if you want to make a real difference in the world, then go do your homework.
Dude, I think literally she's fucking said that too, right?
Yeah, that was verbatim.
Yeah, no, I was just fucking joking right now, but I realized, wait a minute. I think that's literally what she fucking said. It's like, hey, if you want to make a you want to make a difference, go do your damn homework and eat your broccoli or something.
So they're driving away. Nothing happens for a bit. There's tension in the van because one guy doubts the lady's legitimacy because she has like a necklace or something made of like a Eternium. She says it's a family heirloom.
Dude, it's made out of Ethereum, bro. How much is that? How much cash you got right there?
0.0001 cent.
Okay, sick.
So the next day they arrive at some mountains and we find out they're looking for the fabled crown from the exposition parts earlier.
Oh yeah, the fucking sketchy crown that's like forged by six demons.
Yeah.
Because demon 666 shit, bro. Hell yeah.
Yeah. They get exploring. The thick guy stays in the van, and they quickly inside some caves come across some stone tablets that basically, to sum it up, say magic was sick, but people suck, and that's why magic doesn't stay or something.
Yeah, no one's stoked on magic here. It's like, man, people can't fuck this magic shit. Have you seen Chris Angel? That motherfucker's cringe. Fuck magic. David Blaine, okay, he might be okay, but Chris Angel, you can see what happens when a motherfucker like that's doing magic. It does no one any favors.
Shout out to Chris Angel, best Monday Night Raw guest host of all time.
Are you sure about that?
Nah. You know, the best part about that was right when I think they did that the week that TNA went to war with WWF and started broadcasting live on Mondays.
Oh god. So wasn't there like one they had fucking Ozzy and Sharon come in as a fucking guest host?
Yeah, and like all and it like wasn't all had Ozzy did was just yell Sharon.
Yeah, all he did was fucking chill on a fucking throne and just look like Ozzy.
Yeah, because it's fucking Ozzy, and even 15 years ago that guy could barely move.
Yep.
So anyway, they can't find someone named Ishmael, who is the guy who was being rude earlier.
Like, literally, outside, it's like, they enter a fucking tomb, and they go like, hey, what happened to that one guy that was with us? I was like, I don't know, it's kind of sus that he just fucking disappeared while we're, like, in this like, fucking spooky know. Little no tomb. Told me,
it's like, I don't know, none of you have told me what your names are yet, so yeah. I don't know who that is.
You're like, okay, cool, whatever. Continuing on, we got 2 hours to review, baby.
So outside, the thick guy is chilling, listening to music. And then one guy who also went with them just goes flying from the sky or something.
I think that's our buddy Ishmael that they were tripping on earlier.
No, that was a different guy. His name, I think it was Serene or something. Serene? Anyway, then the Mercs show up outside.
Oh, are these the British Mercs? I say Brev.
Yeah, it's the Osprey Militia.
Dude, the United Empire is right there. The Don Callis family? What? Crazy.
Don Callis family. Back inside, then Ishmael comes back and the lady asks, hey, where's so and so? And he's like, he needed to get some air.
Yeah, so totally it's kind of stuffy. It's kind of stuffy in here. I think he needed to catch some fresh air. I'm not gonna lie, it's a little dusty in this fucking tomb that no one's been in for years.
So they find the room where the hero and champion was buried inside of in this temple for reasons we don't know yet. We learn later. They find the crown. Lady parkours up to it.
Yep.
Then the Mercs showed up, and
they're saying, "Bro,
one guy." Yeah, one of them knocks out Ishmael with a rainmaker. Damn. And they open fire. She gives herself up to save the thick guy, who we find out here is her brother. And right as they're about to kill her, they ask her, any last words, bruv? And she goes, tell my son, mightiest of mortals, god of gods, six immortal elders.
And then the guy's like, bro, what are you going on? And just like, boom, shabam. And they're like, oh, yo, it's Dwayne the Rock Johnson. He don't have a fucking neck in this movie. I don't know if it was this scene or the scene he's on the fucking throne looking over at some statue, but holy fuck. Motherfucker does not have a fucking neck. Holy shit. Like, here's the thing. Like, we watched Doom. He was pretty leaned out there. And you know what? Scorpion King, he had a pretty solid fucking action bot going.
This, he looks like a regular person.
This is like, you don't have a neck, my guy. You look bloated. Like, you don't even look sick. You're like, yeah, you're fucking giant, but you just look like, you look like the fucking Michelin man here.
He looked old.
Oh my God. You fucking tell me after the fucking shit we watched. Holy shit. Let's just say that right now. He is looking fucking old. Like, yeah, he's been looking old, like, on fucking SmackDown of recent. Like, yeah. But fuck, this movie is not too many favorites. It's like, dude, you look like you could get Social Security now or something. I don't know.
Yeah, like, listen, and I know, to be fair, right, it was 20 years between this and Scorpion King. But holy shit, John Cena didn't age that bad in 20 years.
Okay, now, obviously, we don't have movies to relate with John Cena when he was young. We could watch wrestling and see when he was, like, a little bit grainier. But
well, we could watch the original Marine and then watch what was his most recent one? Vacation Friends 2 or something.
I think it's that fucking Prime Video that has like fucking Zac Efron where they like blamed all their troubles on an imaginary friend. But then when their fucking spouses are like, hey, can you like have us meet your sick imaginary friend that's totally not imaginary? And then they can hire some dude that's fucking John Cena to pretend that he's their imaginary friend. That's the last movie I know he did. And it was on Amazon Prime.
That sounds hilarious.
And no, so, that's the thing. Like, all John Cena does is fucking garbage comedies these days.
Yeah, like, Peacemaker had some moments of seriousness, but it was like 80% comedy, at least.
Yeah.
So anyway, the flash of lightning, our hero question mark, has arrived.
Yeah, it is totally a hero. Dude, it's Dwayne The Rock Johnson. It's fucking Black Adam, bro. Yeah, that's what...
A guy goes to Rock... to like poke at him, our necklace man, but then Rock goes Hakai and just atomizes these fools.
Hakai!
Dude,
he went all fucking Palpatine, bro. He is just like,
no. Ultimate power.
Ultimate power.
Yeah, for a PG-13 movie, I mean, they did everything but show blood. He's literally like, burning and searing flesh and turning fools to bone and ash. I'm not gonna lie, there were some parts where it's kind of cool. And then he busts out of the temple.
Wasn't this movie rated R or some shit?
No, it's PG-13.
Oh, okay. I thought this movie was gonna be rated. I thought this movie was supposedly rated R, and I was watching like.
I heard he wanted to push for that, but he couldn't make it work. But I don't know for sure.
Yeah.
But then he busts out of the temple, and he confronts the army. The brother and sister,
the brother and sister. They're in their they're in their sick fucking van again. They're just fucking cruising away, and there's this fucking war zone of all these soldiers. We got this slow motion where we just fucking just see Dwayne, the fucking Michelin man, just fucking wreck shop. It's fucking crazy.
Yeah, man. And I should say this now. There was, I think, a solid 30% of this movie had to have been in slow motion.
Yeah, no, I think they fucking spam that shit like crazy, bro. They hit the slow motion spam pretty hard.
So then, okay, so and this was kind of interesting because this is right out of those new Sonic the Hedgehog movies where Rock is moving kind of fast-ish and in like slow motion, but everyone else is moving in still images.
Yeah.
So in real time, he just completely murks that army in like 2 seconds.
I know.
Rock's...
Yo, it's like Goku. It's like Goku and Frieza's fight on Namek, where it's like supposed to be 5 minutes, but stretched out into like 10 episodes.
Yeah. It's supposed to be 10 episodes. It's 4 hours.
Yeah.
So Rock stops in front of their van. They roll up their windows. Ha ha, comedy. He catches a rocket that someone shoots at him, but it's laced with Eternium, so this hurts him when.
Yeah,
it
dude,
explodes.
He got fucking nailed with some Ethereum. I think the rock's made out of Bitcoin or some shit.
Rock's been on that Liver King diet.
Yep.
So he vaporizes the dude, but Rock is tuckered out. So as he tries to fly away, he just plops down back on the ground. We see that Ishmael has survived and he's working with the bad guys, you guys.
Oh my God, he's a bad guy? Yeah. Yeah, I guess he didn't get crushed back in the fucking tomb. Oh, well, Ishmael, I guess he's our fucking baddie on this fucking movie. What insane as he's talking with all these British people.
So we then see a dude named Carter watching Rock's Warpath. He gets a call from Mrs. Suicide Squad, Amanda Waller,
yep,
who says, hey, shit's crazy. What are you going to do about it?
Hey, and can you says, do something about this? Yeah.
And he says, don't worry, I got help. He calls, and then this is where we meet his team, a girl named Maxine Hunkle, who aka Cyclone. She controls wind and is really smart with computers, but I don't think we ever really saw her do much with computers.
She did Al some Ross, shit. I don't know. I guess she's a fucking airbender. So, all right. So we got an airbender. What's next?
Al Rosty, the second Atom Smasher. And you're probably, and you might be asking, ooh, sure? Atom Smasher, what does he do? He grows.
So he's just fucking Ant-Man.
Yeah, and I'll be honest, I genuinely don't know if Atom Smasher came first or if Ant-Man did, but yeah. And then here we go. Even though he was phoning it in, the best casting decision in the whole movie, Pierce Bronson.
Are you sure about that?
Pierce Bronson is Dr. Fate. Listen, I'm sorry. It's just, dude, Pierce Bronson as Kent Nelson goes hard. I know he was phoning it in, but I was in it. Every scene he was there as Dr. Fate. I loved it.
Damn, you were really trying your best with this movie. I'm going to be honest with y'all. I was watching this movie doing
it
in blood.
It's because I'm a Dr. Fate mark, and DC never lets him do shit. So the fact that he was here and played by my childhood's Bond, I'm like, I'm here. I'm in it.
You know what? I'll accept that. I can understand that. Thank you. Thank you. Seems like you have some strong emotional attachment to Pierce Bronson. Just fucking phoning it in this movie. You know what? It's definitely worth something talking about. But moving on. So
these guys straight up just are the Justice Society. Which, fun fact,
the
for
fuck
all
is
you,
the Justice Society? What happened to the Justice League? Does that not exist?
The Justice League does exist, and I don't think they've ever hinted at the Justice Society ever existing before this movie. But, fun fact, the Justice Society was the first superhero ensemble team ever created. It predates the Justice League and the Avengers by, like, quite a bit.
Oh, yeah? Who was in the Justice Society? Yeah.
I'll be honest. My memory of them isn't that great. I think the original Flash... I think like the first Flash and like the first Green Lantern were in it, but I don't remember right now.
Dang, so if only we had some fucking comic book nerd just to like fucking give us the info dump. Dang, if I only had Matt Harvey's fucking number on speed dial, maybe he can fucking tell me that shit.
Well, listen, DC doesn't usually also let the Justice Society do shit, so my memory is lacking right now.
You just know it existed.
Yeah, and they were cool. Anyway, so after becoming acquainted with each other, they head off to Conduct in their cool ship. We see a dream sequence for Rock. I think of like him as a kid, so I thought, being taken away from someone.
Yeah.
And he wakes up in a bedroom. He gets harassed by the kid from earlier who was shredding it epically on his deck.
Yeah.
And is basically trying to catch him up to speed.
He's like, dude,
hey.
Dude, it's so crazy, dude. It's like, dude, it's been like 5,000 years. Dude, you're like totally like a superhero. Dude, what's your catchphrase, bro? Dude, what's your catchphrase? What kind of superpowers do you? Dude, so I heard you can fucking like, I heard you could like block bullets or something. Dude, that's like crazy. Like bullets don't hurt you. Dude, well, dude, could you also like fire something? I also heard you got like lightning fingers. Dude, can you shoot lightning? Dude, that'd be like super sick. Oh, I just saw you just shoot lightning at my Superman poster. Dude, that's like fucking insane, dude. Yeah. That's literally the energy what this kid's coming at with fucking Dwayne the Rock Johnson.
I was like, man, if I was Black Adam in this scene, I would look unamused like Rock did too. So then,
Rock is doing good acting right there?
For a second, yes. So the lady comes back and analyzes the crown while her brother is being a Chad and is watching Good, Bad, and the Ugly. Mm-hmm. So the kid is again catching Rock up on Conduct and how it just for its whole history has been one occupied military force after another. And then Rock literally walks into the living room to speak to his mother, like walks through the wall.
Yep.
And basically,
yeah, that guy doesn't believe in doors for some reason in this movie. I think it's just a running gag.
Yeah. So basically, she doesn't want Rock around because she doesn't want him to teach him violence. But her son wants him around because he wants him to save Kondok because, quote unquote, Superman, Batman, and Wonder Woman aren't coming to save us.
Yeah. They're off trying to fight Superman or some shit. I don't know why.
But Rock,
they're fighting fucking Darkseid.
But Rock, as he'll say several times throughout the movie, I'm no hero. So he leaves, but as he's trying to leave, the kid keeps trying to sell him on it. Like, come on, dude, you could be famous. You could be in magazines and video games. You could use a new name and catchphrase. Tell him the man in black sent you. Also, everyone you know is dead.
Yeah, I know. Dude, crazy. But yo, dude, check out this sick fucking nick. Dude, check out this fucking sick catchphrase I got you. Yo, every time you got fucking, you're about to kill someone, just go out. Yo, the man in black, dude, the man in black sent you, or whatever the shit he just said. And he's like, yeah, dude, that's gonna be sick. Oh, yeah, sorry that you're like your wife or whoever your family that you know back from 5,000 years ago is dead. Oh well. No, moving on, dude.
Rock is distracted because he sees through a window. He sees a statue of someone, and he flies to it. Quick scene of the Justice Society talking as Dr. Fate tries to tell Carter that their plan sucks, mm-hmm. and Cyclone telling Atom Smasher not to touch Dr. Fate's helmet because I don't know, it might drive him insane or something.
I was just saying it might be a sketchy helmet. You have to be at least a Pierce Bronson wield this helmet.
So we then cut to Rock gazing at the statue. And he gets a flashback to what I assumed was him being taken away from his mother.
Yeah.
Back on the streets, that's where we'll meet. The kid swipes a radio from one of the mercs, and he's like, "Hey, mercs, watch out! We've got our own superhero now, bruv."
Yeah, bruv, suck it. And you're like, "Man, shut the fuck up! I don't want to hear that bullshit." And then he gets
cornered by the armed militants. Mm. He tries to raise his hand in the diamond shape like Rock did as a kid, but the mercs are about to gun him down. Mom comes to try to save him, and then Mrs. No Violence decks a dude in the face with the kid's skateboard.
Damn. And well, then because the guy was like, "Hey, excuse me, I think I've been told, hey Mom, I think we were supposed to take you in downtown," and she's like, "Oh yeah, right. I'm a fucking criminal or some shit. Boom, I'm gonna smack you in the face with the fucking skateboard. What's good?"
Then Rock finally swoops in to save the day. They recreate some shots from the end of Good, Bad, and the Ugly for some reason. And Rock
because it was on the movie.
Everyone.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then Rock lightnings everybody. Tell them the man in black sent you.
Yeah.
He tells the dead bodies.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And it's like, you're supposed to say that before you kill them. Oh, okay.
Catchphrase, then kill.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I think I'm getting it. I'm getting the hang of this. Yeah, yeah.
I'm not going to lie. That was a little funny. So the Justice Society shows up, and then Rock drops like two dudes out of the sky, and Carter jumps out to save them. And this is where we find out, holy shit, this guy Carter is Hawkman.
Yep.
He saves them and is all like, and he's like, "Hey, man, these guys deserve to face due process and justice." And then Rock just lightnings them.
Yep. And he's like, "Nah, I'll let the gods sort them out."
Yeah. Then Fate swoops in, and now it's Hawkman and Dr. Fate versus Black Adam.
Yeah.
Hawkman does most of the fighting, and he actually gets a couple good hits in, but this isn't Scorpion King Rock. This is Fast and Furious Rock, where he barely gets hit, and when he does get hit, he no-sells it.
Yeah, because he's just a fucking... He looks like the Michelin Man now. He basically looks like he can actually absorb bullets. He can fucking handle, like, a fucking throwing a brick at him.
Cyclone and Atom Smasher join the fight. And you know how we mentioned the slow motion earlier? Anytime Cyclone did anything, they hit her with the slow motion. And it's like, why?
Yo, because, dude,
but
you got to check out the sick airbending, bro.
Atom Smasher gets lost at one point, and then Rock goes and, like, blows everyone away with his lightning powers. Adam eventually makes it there and actually smushes Rock, but he eventually overpowers him because it's the Rock.
Yeah, dude, it's fucking Dwayne the Rock Johnson. You think he's going to look weak? Nah, he's got the Steven Seagal clause in his contract. Crazy.
I think I wrote that somewhere here in my notes, actually, verbatim.
Just straight up jacked it from you. What's up? Your mom's going to come and beat my ass. It's like, stealing my schmunz lines. Fuck you, James. Boom! Straight to the face.
Whatever. The people of Kondak are stoked because they're like, yeah, dude, long live the champion. And then Rock flies off.
Yeah.
Dr. Fate.
And like, yeah, no, we have fucking Hawk. This is the part where Hawkman and fucking Dr. Fate is like, you know, we're heroes, right? And it's like, I don't know. You seem like you haven't done shit. Like, now, Dwayne the Rock Johnson, though, he's been getting shit done. I'm just saying.
Yeah, no, that's literally what happens. They're like, hey, can we see the crown? We're heroes. Black Adam's, you know, not what you think he is. We're here to help. And she's like,
nah.
We've been in a military occupation for 30 years. Where the fuck were you?
Yeah, I don't know if I should trust you. I'm just saying. The Rock's kind of, like, he's kind of getting shit done. Yeah, what the fuck's up with you guys? Yeah. Justice Society, superheroes, who the fuck? We've been fucking occupied forever by the United Kingdom. It's fucking dumb, all right, bruv? It sucks.
But then Hawkman says that that Rock almost destroyed Kondak with his rage, so we need to stop that from happening.
Oh, okay.
She doesn't even have the crown.
She doesn't even
have the crown anyway.
Yeah, she's like, well, I don't have it anyway. And we're sitting there going like, huh? Rock just almost destroyed fucking Kondak with his rage? What? That's crazy.
So they get her to try to help him, like, I guess, reason with Black Adam to help him out. So they go talk to him. He's chilling in a temple looking at statues. And she goes to talk to him. And he's like, hey, I know you brought the Justice Society guys. But in an attempt to coerce him to help, she then tells him a story that her grandma told her when she was a kid on how it comes down to, hey, man, she said you saved Kondak. But the Justice Society says that you weren't there for justice. You were there for revenge. And in your anger, you blew everything up and you were locked up. And then, but then Rock says, I'm no hero. Thank you, Rock.
Thank you. You didn't answer shit. Well, maybe you answered something, but it was just like, you just gave us the fucking trailer line. All you did was just basically show us a scene that would be in the fucking trailer. I'm no hero.
And she's like,
I'm no hero.
And she's like, but you could be one.
I'm just saying, you can be one. You've been doing, you haven't been doing a half-bad job. Not going to lie. Like, have you seen the Justice Society? They haven't been doing shit. You, on the other hand, getting shit done.
They didn't even exist in the DCEU until this movie. So he's like, fine, I'm willing to hear them out. Back with the kid, he goes home to see, hey, it's Ishmael. Oh, no, it's Ishmael.
He's like, oh, no, it's Ishmael. What would we do? Holy shit. We're so scared.
So at gunpoint, he tries to take the crown. But Big Guy tackles Ishmael so the kid can get away. And in a moment of tragedy, Big Guy gets gunned.
And you're like, damn.
So the Justice Society
sucks.
So the Justice Society is like, hey, is talking to Black Adam. They're like, hey, man, you don't belong here. You want us to leave. Come with us. We can end this peacefully.
Yeah.
Mom gets a call from the kid to tell her, hey, Ishmael just shot my uncle and he's looking for me. Teehee. Mom then desperately pleads with Rock to save her son.
Hey, can you please save my kid? Like, I'm just saying, he's the one that's been giving you all, dude. He's been giving you like superhero training. I'm just saying.
He super believes
in
you.
Come on, dude.
Bro.
He's a fucking mark for the fucking Rock. Come on.
He wanted you to fight Roman Reigns.
I would say he wanted you, not fight. He's not down with the Cody crybabies. I'm just saying.
My son, I think his name is Amon. My son Amon isn't a Cody crybaby.
Yeah.
So, So as the said son in question is using his wits and his sick deck to evade the mercenaries until Rock can show up, because Rock's like, you know what? I don't like you, Justice Society guys, but that kid was cool. So he goes to help save the
kid.
He's
not a fucking Cody crybaby like the rest of you, Justice Society, fucking jabronis.
So then Rock starts tearing through the army, but in the chaos, The kid gets taken by Ishmael and thrown in the trunk of one of their flying bikes.
Yeah, dude, one of their fucking Ethereum bikes, bro. It's crazy.
Rock turns his attention to finding the kid in the bikes. And in the meantime, the Justice Society is trying to help him out, even though, well, one, he's way more OP than all of them.
Yeah.
But they all, especially Steven Seagal
Claws, baby. Steven Seagal Claws.
But they all, especially Hawkman, have reservations about him killing people.
Yeah, can you please not kill people? And he's like, but I like killing people. It gets shit done.
That's my justice.
Yeah, that's my justice.
Eventually, the chase sequence leads to the last two bike guys and rocks over the sea as he's on the last few bikes. In the meantime, Dr. Fate heads to the kid's house. And good news, the thick guy's alive, you guys.
Yeah. Yeah. And he asks Dr. Fate, am I going to die? And he's like, nah, you're going to die by electricity. But I'm an electrician. I'm like, oh, well, time to find a new trade then, buddy.
So Rock takes down the last bike and it crashes on a farm where, according to the closed captions I had on, the farmers were speaking Mandarin. So that's neat.
Yeah, they went all the way to fucking China.
Yeah. Unfortunately, the kid isn't in the bike. So actually, that's kind of interesting. I don't know where the fuck Kondok is like supposed to take place. In the original comics, Kondok was like basically sort of Egypt, but not really. But this looks more like the Middle East than it does North Africa. So I don't know.
Yeah, who knows?
Anyway, so then that happens. The kid's not in any of the bike trunks. We didn't get a short scene of Dr. Fate projecting his mind to talk to the Rock. He's like, let me interrogate the last biker. I will break his mind. But Rock already chucked him into the sky.
Yeah, no, he's like, where's the last guy? I think I could talk to him, break his mind. And like already you just see the Rock go like, I think I want to throw him over there. Wait. Oh, look at that. He's still there. And he landed and he's dead. Oopsie.
He didn't make it.
That jabroni didn't make it.
Quick scene of Smasher and Cyclone bonding as she did some science surgery thing. Oh, look at that. We're
like the young members of the Justice Society. Maybe we can relate to each other. Maybe we can be friends.
Maybe we can be justice friends. Maybe we can be super friends.
We can be super friends. Hell yeah. High five.
So now Mom's back in her house. Fate's still there and he tells her, hey, don't blame yourself. That's it, basically. Then Rock and Hawkman come back. Hawk saves some bikers to interrogate them. So Rock, having learned it's important to treat prisoners with respect and dignity so they answer your questions, grabs them and flies high in the stratosphere and tells them
flies high into a fucking thunderstorm. And he goes like, all right, first one to answer doesn't get dropped. And some dude's like, I don't know. It gets dropped. And the other guy's like, they went to this one place and then drops them anyway. So yeah. I was like, yeah.
Which Hawkman saves both of them. And then when they meet again at the mom's house, he's like, I thought you said you weren't going to kill anybody. And he said, yeah. He's like, I waited for you to get there or something. I don't know.
Yeah, I figured that you would get him. Yeah. Hold on, dude. This is our sick little negotiator's act. Have you seen Batman's negotiating tactics? He just hangs people upside down or just straight up just beats the fuck out of them.
Yeah. Or threatens to drop them off like a 19-story roof.
Yeah, exactly. Come on. Basically, I'm just doing then what Batman does. You got a problem with Batman? Fuck. Batman's like way sicker than you, Hawkman. Yeah, come on, Hawkman. Are you Batman? Nah. So shut your bitch ass up.
Then there's a confrontation, which genuinely highlights a genuine issue I have with this film. Hawkman in this whole movie, you guys, believes in these black and white certainties about what heroes and villains are and do, and they get into another fight. Now, you can tell that this dialogue and fight scene was written and choreographed by Fast and Furious Rock, because one, the dialogue is intensively written to be clunky in a way that makes Hawkman look dumb and naive and makes Rock look like a cool, empathetical badass, and Rock completely dominates the fight.
Yeah.
Hawkman doesn't get like a single hit in. But anyway, in the scuffle,
Rock's just fucking OP. Deal with it, nerds. How about you? How about drink your fucking Zoa energy drinks and get fucking jacked like the Rock?
But I don't want to lose my neck.
I don't want him to lose my neck. Look at that man. That man don't got a neck. I don't think he can even turn his head. Like legit, he's like fucking Michael Keaton. He's like, he's got the Michael Keaton Batman mask, but as his fucking head.
Oh my God.
He can't turn his fucking neck. Dude, I'm trying to even think if he actually does turn his fucking neck at all in this movie. I'm sure he does, but it's like,
I think he almost extensively,
a lot of it's just, a lot of it, he just kind of floats and broods and kills people. That's what Black Adam does.
Or him turning his head like over his shoulders, but he twists his upper body to like look forlorn and somber and epically into the camera, because we need plenty of those shots for the trailer, you guys.
I know exactly.
So the kid hid the crown in a dresser or something, and the Justice Society takes it on their ship for analyses. The crown has a quote on it that says, "Life is the only path to death." I wonder what that means. They can't agree on a definition, but then the mom's like, "Bro, who cares? We're gonna work together to find my son." So she forces them to work together.
I'm about to say, it's like, yeah, can you guys just chill out? Like, literally, can we just get my kid? Who gives a fuck about this goofy-ass crown? We got the crown. You guys are badass, right? You guys shouldn't be able to lose that crown. If you guys did, then you guys kind of fucking suck. But, yo, let's think about let's get back to the matter that's important. All right, I have a fucking, can we get my fucking son or what? Please, poor favor, come on.
Hawkman talks to Fate, and Hawkman hates this, but feels Fate is keeping something from him. Because throughout the movie, Dr. Fate's been getting these visions of a bad future. One that involves Hawkman.
Yeah, I think he gets fucking visions of Hawkman getting stabbed or something. He's like, man, Hawkman's chill. We're buddies. I don't want him to get stabbed and die.
Fate hints that he's seen a vision of Hawkman dying, but there's still time to change the future, he says. Mm-hmm. Next day they're having a tactical meeting trying to coordinate an offense, but then when they try to turn to Rock to like make a plan with him, Rock has already said, "Fuck you guys, I'm the Rock," and he flies in and solos the whole unit.
Yeah,
and this scene, I would tell my center
is like, well, let's be fucking real, like what more do you need? Rock kind of just fucking OP in this movie, so like, what's actually going to stop them? Maybe you could shoot some Ethereum at them, but they're pretty bad at doing that now, are they?
Yeah. And by the way, this whole sequence of him wrecking people is set to Kanye West's "Power of All Songs" by Of All Artists.
Why not the Rock's
one? No man should have all that power. That's a good song, actually. So his momentum is halted by an Eternium shield. I almost said Ethereum. God damn it, James. And it's here we learn.
Yeah, dude, his fucking Bitcoin powers got blocked off by Ethereum. The supply chain of Ethereum is very strong with fucking Ishmael.
Yeah, and so we learn here that Ishmael here hacked all of Rock's credit cards. No, I'm kidding. So we here. Oh, so Ishmael's
wait,
here.
What? Whatever. So Ishmael's here. Ishmael's a bad guy. He's got a gun and he's trying to threaten to shoot the kid because he's a bad guy.
They get a lore dump that he is the last descendant of the evil King Akhtun.
Okay.
And he wants the crown to become King of Khandaq. Literally his whole motivation is world domination.
Fuck.
So
that's crazy.
And then he taunts Rock by saying he heard he cried when Harut died. That's important for later.
We're going like, wait, what's up with Harut? Wait, what, huh? Oh, we won't learn about that now? Damn.
Yeah, that's the first time that name ever got brought up. He taunts Rock by saying he heard... I said that already. He gets the crown by forcing the mom to give it. Under threat, he'll kill her son. And like the bastard he is, when he gets the crown, he still tries to kill him. What happens next is the most questionable slow motion sequence I think I've ever seen. Bro, the faces Rock was making in this segment...
Hey, that's the Rock acting. Let the Rock act by showing off facial expressions. Yo, did he hit the eyebrow raise? Did he hit his patented eyebrow? What, did he smell some pie? Can you smell what the Rock is cutting? But yeah.
So in this moment, Ishmael shoots the gun. Rock moves to catch the bullet. Dr. Fate magics the kid away. And Hawkman shields the mom as Ishmael puts on the crown, and then there's a big explosion. All that happens at once.
Yeah, no, The Rock decided to blow his load and just fucking hit a fucking huge, like, fucking electric, like some Sith Lord fucking electric burst right there, trying to incinerate our boy Ishmael, our evil man Ishmael.
Yeah, he blew his load.
Yeah, he blew his fucking load. And then basically, I think, like, out of the rubble, they found that, like, Ishmael's body's all charred, but the crown is good. But, or, like, the young kid, the young kid that shreds on the skateboard, he kind of got fucking hit by the fucking, like, blow the load, like, explosion that the Dwayne the Rock Johnson hit.
And it's so, like, no, not that kid. He's a comic book nerd that shreds on a skateboard.
No, not that kid. He's actually sympathetic. We actually fuck with that kid. Not Rock, who looks like the fucking Michelin Man with no fucking neck.
Dude, what happened to it? He's like the inverted Corey Taylor.
Like, I'm just saying, why are you, like, noticing it too? Like, literally on the backside, it's just traps and bald head. No neck.
Well, like, it's like I saw, but it didn't really register until you said it. But so literally,
I'm gonna use that as the fucking cover. I'm using that as the cover. I'm gonna find the shot of the back of his dome where it's just like there's no neck.
Like, dude, like, as we've been talking, I have a separate window open on my phone as I'm reading my notes where I'm just looking at shots of the movie and I'm like, oh my God, he looks like a goddamn thumb.
I'm just saying. Yeah, he looks no different than the fucking thumbs from, like, Spy Kids, bro. It's, like, crazy.
See, at first I was going to be like, I was going to be like, yo, you should try to get some shots of like, him making his big, giant, raw expressions in the slow motion. But now I'm just kind of like, God damn, it's like the thumbnails should just be his neck. His lack of neck.
His lack of fucking neck, bro.
His lack of neck definition.
Exactly.
It's like, it literally goes from shoulders to head. But yeah. It's weird. It's so weird.
Like, it's so stupid. It's like, bro, I think you've gotten too buff. It's not even cool now.
Anyway,
Rock back is, to where we're at in this movie.
Rock is sad that he got the kid hurt and he flies off.
Yeah, he goes hit the sad flight. It's that part of the movie, guys, where like the hero's like did something where they feel pretty remorseful about it, and now they would go fly away and be sad.
Yeah, it's the Superman had to kill General Zod moment from Man of Steel.
This is the Aunt May just died and like fucking Spider-Man. Now like Peter Parker went and go hide at his fucking high school like tower and shit while the other Spider-Man.
Yeah.
It's gotta go somber away. I'm sad. Someone I give a fuck about died or got hurt. This power is the biggest superhero's hard.
This power is great, but so is the responsibility.
Woe is me. I'm going to go be sad and mope somewhere privately that everyone knows where I'll be moping and like being sad privately at. Oh.
Hawkman goes up to follows Rock and he says, what's wrong? And Rock goes, I lost something very important to me. He goes, was it someone you loved? Rock goes, no, it was my neck.
You know, like, you know, I have a lot of emotions going on with this movie. I was like, what happened? Did you lose a loved one? No, I lost my neck from training too hard for this role.
My chin and my head merged into my shoulders.
I'm just saying, like, I think this movie's gonna bomb. And I put in so much effort to not have a neck for a movie to bomb. I'm not in a good spot, bro. I think we go back to the WWE.
I intentionally screwed over the Shazam sequel for my movie, and it still wasn't enough.
Yeah, enough. I lost my neck in the process. Do not be me. Keep your neck, people.
It's like with the Thanos thing where they ask him, what did it cost you? And he says, everything. That's like, that's Rock right now, except it's not everything. It was just his neck.
What did it cost you? My neck.
He could say he really stuck his neck out for this movie.
I think so. Or what lack of.
Yeah, right. Anyway, so Hawkman does really go after Rocky, guys. And Hawkman's like, hey, who's Harut?
Yeah, who's Harut?
It turns out that little boy we saw earlier that I was like, I thought was Young Rock, that was not Young Rock at all.
No, that's not Young Rock. Yeah, Young Rock got canceled on NBC. Deal with it, nerds.
And while he did become their champion, Rock's son, the king killed Rock's wife.
Would you say he became the people's champion?
Oh my God. I didn't even think of that. Yeah. Fuck you, Rock.
The people's champ. God damn it.
So he's literally the people's champ. He has electricity powers, the most electrifying man in sports entertainment.
Yeah.
And there's another shout out to him that comes up in a few minutes, but God damn it, Rock, get over yourself. Anyway, so Rock's fucking wife died and he got mortally wounded. His son decides to save Rock's life by giving him the powers that were bestowed on him by the wizards, because I don't know.
Oh no, it's like, you know what, Dad? I want you to survive. And he gets it, and then he went from like skinny, like awkward Rock, where he's got like the old buff face, but like the red with the fucking shitty like laborer's body. And then we see fucking Michelin Man body Rock. And then the kid just like magically just right there conveniently just gets hit with an arrow. So Rock can't get back to powers and he's stuck with him.
Yeah, Rock's son dies in his arms. And then Rock got so mad that King Octoon.
Yeah, I know. He got so mad that King Octoon fucking killed his kid, and his kid cursed him to have no neck, that he went on a fucking rampage and blew the palace.
He got so mad that King Octoon tweeted, "We want Cody," that he went to the palace, and then he canceled King Octoon and suspended his Twitter account.
Exactly.
I'm not going to lie. I thought it was a decent twist. It's like, oh, that kid wasn't Rock at all. Okay, that's kind of neat.
Okay, yeah. Like, the kid actually seemed like a cool person. The Rock's not a cool person.
The Rock is not a cool person.
Yeah, Rock's not stone cold.
So Rock talks to Hawk, and he's like, "I'll give up my powers because I feel bad and stuff." Shazam.
And then he's like, "I don't speak English, so sorry, guys."
Oh, yeah, that's right. He just speaks in the Kondok language. Yeah. So they take Rock to a task force as Colding Penitentiary that's at like in the Arctic at the bottom of the ocean, I think.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. It's kind of high security. I'm just saying, it's like deep in the waters and the ocean and shit. I'm just saying, I think they're trying to make sure this guy doesn't escape.
They're going to keep him in suspended animation, submerge in a pod that looks like the rejuvenation chamber from Dragon Ball. Uh-huh. when Goku's in a coma on Namek.
Uh-huh.
And he won't be able to speak because they got like a thing over his mouth.
Yeah, also, so he can't say Shazam. Oh my God, there it is.
Back on the ship, Cyclone and Smasher, who I'll be honest, I keep forgetting are in this movie.
I'm going to be honest with you. Like, Rock's neck has done more in this movie than the fucking those nerds have. Let's just be real. All right. There's more significance about the lack of neck that the Rock has compared to whatever fucking Adam Smasher and Cyclone.
Like, don't get me wrong. It's cool to see them on the big screen and everything, but like, they haven't done a goddamn thing.
Yeah.
But then, yeah, so they give the kid who shreds on his skateboard a cape for his work. It's just like, hey, thank you. Here's a cape. And I'm like, really? You can't like give him money or something?
Hey, can you give him something sick? Fuck. Okay, whatever.
You can't give him a hoverboard.
You just go like, dude, you just end up just going like, man, just a society kind of fucking sucks.
But then we see Fate have another dream, and he comes clean to Hawkman that ship blows up. Hawkman dies.
I'm just saying.
Hawkman is like,
yeah, she's gonna blow up, and then you might die. I'm just saying, and we're kind of like somehow friends. Like, I don't see the I don't see the chemistry between these two, but supposedly they're just friends.
Yeah, they're old friends too. He goes on a bit because Hawkman's like, I don't fear death, and Fate's like, but the world needs you, man. He goes on about how like. Dr. Fate does about how he's like really old. And when he saw his first airplane and he says, listen, TLDR, I'm sentimental and I don't want to see my friends die.
Yeah, I get bummed. I might be bummed. Just saying.
Mom is with Cyclone and they're like, why did Ishmael say the inscription backwards? Because instead of saying life is the only, no, life is the only path to death or whatever. Ishmael said death is the only path to life. He said it in reverse.
Okay.
And so mom gets a brain blast. She's like, that's it. In Kondok mythology, the souls of Dam are taken to the rock of finality. That was the other reference. That was the other reference because here's the, she didn't say they get taken to the rock of finality. She said they get taken to the rock of finality. She paused after she said rock. I'm like, fucking damn it.
Well, either way, so basically, as we guessed, oh, hey, look, if you fucking die, well, basically, if homeboy dies or with the crown, he basically gets fucking demon powers. So what happens?
Yeah.
He gets fucking demon powers. He goes to the underworld. Yeah, he goes to the underworld.
And they just give him demon powers.
Yeah, and he fucking disappears and then cause fucking mayhem. Wait, was he already back at fucking wherever the fucking town is? I can't remember. Yeah, no, right now.
It's literally that quick. It goes from them talking about how the underworld is a mirror to our world to in like less than 20 seconds. As she's talking, we see him in the underworld. Then demons are like, you are now our champion. They give him
you
powers.
You are now our champion. Time to wreak havoc.
And then he's
a
big
perfect,
scary.
I am so.
I am perfect. And then he becomes a scary red demon. He becomes a devil man, if you will. Like, literally, he's got, like, an upside-down pentagram on his chest.
Yeah. I'm like, whatever, he's fucking evil or satanic or something. He's some sleazeball 666, bro. Bumping bathroom, banging fucking leather pant babes in the back of the bathroom while hitting coke for just at some sleazy shit fuckers show.
So, in no time at all, he just immediately finds our heroes. And now they're in a fight. The fight starts off with a beam struggle.
Yep.
And
a fucking beam struggle? What? Yeah. Now we're in fucking watch a Dragon Ball now? When do we get here?
Yeah, it's like the finale of WandaVision. So,
oh my God. Was I the one where I was like sitting there? I was like, you know what? They first did a knockoff of this sitcom and then a knockoff of this sitcom. And in the end, they just went full on fucking Dragon Ball Z right here.
Yeah, yeah, because it was like, oh man, look at this neat, interesting concept. And then the last episode is, and you showed me that episode too, like the fight. And I was like, holy shit, this is just Dragon Ball.
Yeah, I know. Fucking let's be real.
So it's a fun little romp. And at one point, Hawkman actually has the upper hand for a moment, but Sabacc, the demon, is built different and eventually overpowers him.
Yeah.
Sabacc is making his way to the throne because if he sits on the throne, he gets power, I think.
I guess? That's crazy.
The society gears up to try and stop him, but fate holds them back. He tells them, he says, in his vision, Hawk did die, but he saw how to save them. So he puts up a magical barrier to hold them back. He goes on a tearful speech on how, you know, basically
yeah, this is the part where he's like, he does such an emotional spiel, and I'm like, I do not feel like these characters have developed that level of relationship during this time that we have seen them for him to go on this level of emotion. It's almost jarring. I'm like, what are you doing, my guy?
He says, for the first time in 100 years, I can't see the future. I see the future and I see nothing. It's beautiful. Goodbye, old friend.
You're
and
like,
listen.
I'm like, listen, well, there is no way this movie has been, the way how this movie has portrayed these people, they do not have that level of relationship. You need to chill down there, Pierce Bronson. Pierce Bronson decided, like, I'm going to just unnecessarily act now. Fuck it. Why not? I don't even care. I'm going to overact right now. Let's just go, baby.
Can I point out, too, that it's ironic that Dr. Fate said he looks to the future and he sees nothing? That, you know, two more movies after this one came out, the DCEU died.
Yep.
But anyway, so he goes to contain Sabacc. He tells him straight up, he's like, he goes on the epic speech, he's like, I am Dr. Fate, the holder of law and order in the cosmos. But even I cannot defeat you. I'm like, wow, way to bury yourself. But what he's doing is,
sorry,
he's
not the rock.
He's trying to contain him because he's like, I cannot defeat you, but I know who can. And he astral projects himself to Rock's holding cell and breaks him free. Guards try to attack Rock, but he beats them back. as Dr. Fate is giving The Rock a rousing speech about how sick he is, about how he's like, you can carve your own path and dispense your own justice or whatever. And it's like, okay.
Okay, sure, whatever. All right. Oh my god.
So Rock is able to break free, but Sabacc kills Dr. Fate right as the Justice Society shows up. And then he sits on the throne. And then I wrote here in my notes, I said, God damn it, man. Dr. Fate always gets the short end of the stick in all this DC shit.
You're just like, God damn it. Son of a bitch.
So a whole bunch of stuff happens at once. Like, literally. So when Sabacc sits on the throne, the armies of hell rise up and are running amok in the streets. And they look a lot like the Draugr from the new God of War games.
Okay.
The uncle comes in and helps fight the zombies. Rock almost dies trying to swim to the surface of the facility.
Yeah, he just...
It gets a dream... Yeah.
Well, no, you go.
And he gets like a dream of his family trying to motivate him, being like, it's not your time, father. It Rock's like, they need a hero. He's like,
yeah, like we like, need no, a hero.
They need a champion.
Yeah, they need a champion. And you know what? Not just any champion. The people's champion. He floats God up. He floats up. He says the word Shazam. He gets electrified and he goes, flies in the action, baby.
And he has a cape now.
Yeah. I guess he decided to grow a cape.
So now Sabacc. Oh, yeah. So and then there was, and then the kid was trying to rally the people. And then Rock shows up by saving him because Sabacc, I don't know, threw a statue at the kid or something.
Yeah. Okay.
So now Sabacc and Rock have a final encounter. There's some back and forth, and Rock actually gets beat up for a millisecond.
You're like, hey, look at that. Is someone actually looking stronger than Dwayne for like a minute? What? Insane?
And Hawkman joins the fight. For a moment, it looks like he dies because he gets stabbed with something. They even recreate shots from Dr. Fate's dream.
Yeah.
But it turns out, Hawkman picked up and is now utilizing the power of the helmet.
Okay.
Which
I'm going to be honest with you. I kind of crashed out around here. So this is all you.
It was the end of the movie.
I was very sleepy in the chair while I was donating blood. I'm not going to say this movie was so exciting. All right. I'm just saying it. I kind of fell asleep here. I was like, wait, he grabbed the helmet? You know what? I think I might have crashed out for like a couple minutes. Not going to lie.
Which, like, not to be the comic book nerd, but that's not how that helmet works. But whatever.
Well, maybe the helmet did choose Hawkman. Fuck it. He described it earlier. Maybe the helmet fucks with people. All right. It's like the fucking flying Nimbus. All right. Maybe if you aren't maybe if you aren't a shitty person, you're allowed to ride it and fucking float around.
So he does a thing that the first Dr. Fate did earlier, where he does like some clone jutsu bullshit that gives Rock a chance, enough time to be able to grab Sabacc by the horns.
Okay.
Lift him up into the sky. He tells him, tell them the man in black sent you.
All right.
And he's using his lightning powers, he splits and rips Sabacc apart in half.
I'm like, damn, that's crazy.
I was like, damn, that was actually kind of sick.
Wow.
So then Rock and Hawkman make peace with each other. Rock actually puts over how Fate saved the day, and then the helmet disappears to go find its new owner, I guess.
I guess so. And the owner that's not Hawkman. It's like, you know what? I'll help you out here, Hawkman, but it's only kind of a one-time thing. I'm going to go find someone else way more chill. Like, I'm going to go find I'm going to go find Daniel Craig. That's who I'm going to go find next.
they part ways, and then Hawkman is like, just remember, the justice you dish out can darken your soul. And then the mom is like, yeah, well, his justice allows you to do things you can't. And it's like, we get it. The Justice Society are lame in this movie.
Yeah, we get it. Whatever. Whatever. Rock's the people's champion. The most electrifying man in all of, like, Kung-Hawk or where the fuck they're at.
Kondok, yeah.
No, and then Kondok. And Kong-Kok.
So the Justice Society leaves, and the people are celebrating the Rock. It's, you know, Rock's big dream. And then the mom's like, you can lead them, you know. So Rock steps up to the throne and sits in it, but it doesn't feel right, so he destroys it.
Dang, sick.
He also decides, you know, I think the name Teth Adam is a little old-fashioned. And they're like, so what should we call you?
And then rolls the fucking title screen, baby. Black Adam. Yeah. Hell yeah.
And then the mid-credits, like, stinger happened.
Yeah. Yeah, just fuck
this
it.
This one hurts to talk about.
It does?
We see Rock in a room. He gets a message from Amanda Waller.
Oh,
who tells him, hey. Who tells him, hey, stay in Kondok or the consequences could be dire.
And
Rock goes,
there's no human or man on this earth that can like contain my sick powers, bro.
And then Amanda Waller's like, all right, we'll send someone not from Earth. And then Superman shows up.
And you're like, hey, dude, look, it's fucking John Cena and The Rock. Yo, we're going to see WrestleMania 28 or some shit? Crazy.
Yeah, this hurts to talk about because this was the last time Henry Cavill ever showed up as Superman. And it actually seemed that big things were heading the way for the DCU. But no, they hired James Gunn. And then like less than a year after this movie came out, they were like, yeah, we're rebooting the film universe. Sorry, guys.
Are they?
Like,
dude,
God, I haven't. Damn it.
Let's be honest. I'm going to be honest with you. I don't know fucking shit on what's going on with like superhero movies or anything right now. I feel like that's just a dead medium in like the year of our Lord of 2024. Like, does anyone actually really give a fuck about like superheroes and superhero movies and shit?
Not as much as they did 10 years ago, 4 years, 5 years ago, actually.
Yeah, I'm just saying once Infinity War happened and maybe Spider-Man. Let's be real. I'm like, dude, I don't have that fucking buzz or energy to give a fuck about this shit. I try to watch some of the other stuff, but I'm like, man, dude, you just went from like so much star power to just feels like none now.
The only other like comic book movies that made like a real big splash was like maybe the third Guardians movie. But besides that, it was just Robert Pattinson's Batman and then Joaquin Phoenix's Joker.
Yeah, movies that don't play into like the fucking like superhero like trend or so. Movies that kind of like these would have just been like some random superhero movies like from like yesteryear before we had like the fucking trend in this like intertwining universe.
Before everything was a big giant sprawling interconnected universe.
Yeah. I'm about to say, didn't Marvel get fucked too because their main villain decided to fucking like be a sketchy person and like assault a woman on like on camera, and now there's like, yeah, we're gonna have to find a new casting for
I forget the character's name, but they were gearing him up to be like the new big bad guy for the phase 5 or 6 or whatever the fuck they're on now.
Yeah.
But he did that and now they pretty much don't have any plan. The only plan they have going forward is, hey, we're finally doing the Fantastic Four, you guys.
Yeah, it'll be sick. What's good? Yeah.
Which that would get people interested.
Maybe.
Probably mostly out of morbid curiosity because according to some people, there's never been a good Fantastic Four movie. I liked the first one with Chris Evans.
Okay.
But and what's her name? Jessica Biel. But
that was no
Alba.
Yeah, that was her. Yeah.
But anyway, yeah. So that was the movie, everybody. I'm going to be honest. I think Rock should have just tried to stick to B movies because between this, Scorpion King, and Doom, I'm like, this is fine. These are good. But Black Adam felt like a really conscious attempt for him to be like, I'm going to make a big Hollywood spectacle comic book movie. And it's like, it just kind of comes off as like, I don't know why. I'm just like, this movie just came off as darker Scorpion King.
Well, I don't hope for shit. But hey, look at this. Maybe me and Ed can actually meet up for another episode next week. And then before Mania. I don't know, but you and I will figure that out off air. You got anything else to say? I think it's now time to end it. It's now time to end the show. It's all good. Shoot. Hey, listeners, this is the Triple D Radio Show with your hosts, James and Edward. I hope y'all have a good one.
Adios.